Well, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to use the verses before I'm going to preach as my introduction. So I'd like to go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, just to introduce what I want to talk about today, and that's, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 for pretty much the entire time today. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. All right. Now let's think about this for a minute. This is a pretty special command. Do you know that this is the only command in the Bible that's written to children? I mean, there's commands that apply to children, of course, but this is one that is uniquely given to children. They are to obey their parents and the Lord. Why? Because it's right. Because it's the right thing to do. They are to honor their father and mother. Honor has the idea of just treating with great weightiness. And that's in a good way. to reverence them and to think highly of them. Why? Because it's the first commandment with a promise. You go back to the Ten Commandments. All nine of them are repeated in the New Testament. The only one that's not repeated for Christians in the New Testament is the command to keep the Sabbath. But this is one of the commands that's repeated from Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, and it's repeated. And here Paul is saying, this is what you need to do. It's the first commandment there was with a promise. Because if you live this way, you're going to have a long life, or the promise would be that you'd have a long life. So whether or not you learn to be an obedient person and obey your parents and learn how to obey the government and the church and just to be an obedient person is going to impact your life, your entire life, and could possibly very well let you have a longer life. So that, verse 3, it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Pretty important. So now when we come to our text for this morning, we can't just ignore verse 1 through 3. We can't just let that go, because there's a context here. Because you understand, moms and dads, and everything I'm going to talk about applies an awful lot to moms today, but it's the verse actually is geared toward fathers. It's specifically saying fathers. But so much that I'm going to talk about is going to apply to moms too. Why are we as parents supposed to train our children? Because they need to learn to be obedient. They must learn to be obedient. They must grow up to be obedient citizens, obedient church members. That's our goal. That's our striving. So I want to remind us of that and keep thinking that. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Why? Because they need to learn how to be obedient. They need to learn. They need it bad. So we're going to look at that today and work our way through this. And I know that most of the children aren't here. There's a couple in the room, but most went out for junior church. So I was going to focus on verse 1 through 3 today, but since most of the children aren't here, I decided to go to verse 4 instead. From verse 4, Let's read it again. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. From verse 4, I want to look at two commands. The first one is simply don't provoke. Two commands for fathers for faithfulness in raising our children. The first one is do not provoke them. Do not provoke them. Like I said, this is directly aimed at fathers, but I think moms can learn an awful lot from this, and maybe other people in the family. Do you think you will be a father someday? Ladies are saying, absolutely not. But moms, are you going to, young women, young men, are you going to be parents someday? Maybe. Uncles, aunts, I mean, I think it applies to everybody. We need to understand this, and we need to understand the heavy burden that's put on fathers so that we can truly honor them today. This is huge. And I'm going to tell you right now that most of the things I'm going to talk about today are humanly impossible. Dads are going to feel like failures a lot of the time because this is extremely difficult to do in our flesh. We need the Lord Jesus. We need to be praying to him. We need his grace. We need to be constantly asking him for enablement to do this because it's so necessary. You might be thinking, well, I'm old. I'm past that stage. You have grandchildren, don't you? I'm watching my children struggle with some of the same things we struggled with 20 years ago. So men, don't provoke your children to anger. So what does that mean, provoke to anger? You know what? You could study this all you want to from the lexicons and stuff. It really isn't stated much better than what it's stated right here in English. It means don't provoke them. Fathers must not be the cause of exciting their children to the point of being angry. Now, don't get me wrong. Kids already have an awful lot to make them angry. Mom won't give them a cookie, so I'm going to get angry. You know, I'm not getting my way. I have to clean my room. I'd really rather play, so I don't like that. I'm angry. You know what I mean. The kids have all kinds of reasons to get angry. What we're talking about in this passage is it shouldn't be dad that's making them that way. No, the flesh is enough that they have to battle, and we have to teach them how to deal with their flesh. You think with me about how difficult of a time you are having obeying the Lord Jesus. What about this little guy that's just growing up? He's just brand new. He doesn't know anything. You got to teach him. He's got to be taught. And he's dealing with the flesh just like you are, and he's got all these problems and all these things flying up in his face. He doesn't know how to handle it. He's got to be taught patiently. This text is talking about you as parents, and in particular, us fathers. You must not be the source of what provokes them to anger. It might help to understand the history behind this command, and I think this is the environment that Paul was writing in. So I want you to understand this. Roman men were completely in control of their families by the Roman law of patria potestas. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but that was a Roman law at the time. A father had virtual life and death power not only over his slaves, but his entire household. Newborns were placed at the father's feet. If he picked up the child, it was allowed to live. If he walked away, the child would be discarded like the aborted babies are today. Many times, if the child were healthy, they might take it to the town forum where it could be collected and raised as a slave or a prostitute if the dad didn't want it. Mom didn't have anything to say about it. The father was the preeminent one, and no concern was given to the family at all. Listen to this letter written in 1 BC by a man named Hilarion to his wife. Translated in English, fortunately. Heartiest greetings. Note that we are still even now in Alexandria. I beg and beseech you to take care of the little child, and as soon as we receive wages, I will send them to you. If, good luck to you, you have another child, If it is a boy, let it live. If it's a girl, expose it. Such was common thought and action at the time of Paul's writing. One Roman statesman put it like this: we slaughter a fierce ox, we strangle a mad dog, we plunge a knife into a sick cow, children born weak or deformed, we drown. I think the Roman environment of the day was cruel, it was horrible, and the Apostle Paul is writing in the midst of that horrible environment. And he's telling Christians, especially fathers, be sensitive to your children. Aren't you glad for Christianity, for God's way? So much better than man's way. This is a brand new idea to fathers. Show consideration to your children. Do not provoke them to anger. Okay, so how do we provoke? Well, I'm sure there are many ways to provoke our children to anger. I've got five here. You can think of many other ones, I'm sure. I'm just giving five examples to get you to start thinking about things. One of the ways parents can provoke your children to anger by showing favoritism. Have you ever done that? Think about this. Favoritism is when we have a tendency to be partial to one child over another. We may think no one's noticing, but I can assure you the child's noticing. We have a great example of that. Remember the book of Genesis? Where's our biggest example of partiality there? Boy, Jacob, he showed all kinds of favoritism to Joseph and Benjamin. The coat of many threads, the coat of many colors. At one point, the sons so were furious, they planned to murder Joseph. We got to get rid of this guy. They were so jealous of him because the father favored Joseph. If Reuben hadn't stepped in, they probably would have. But instead, they sold him into slavery. That was the easy way out. And Joseph spent several years in prison until the Lord lifted him out of it. Favoritism makes the other siblings extremely jealous. That goes on today. When we compare children in front of each other, it can be devastating results for the ill-favored one. Why can't you be more like your brother? Why can't you be more like your sister? Why can't you keep your room clean like they do? Favoritism. When the favored one is exalted and the other one's, you're nothing. That can just create such deep-seated anger and bitterness in a child's heart. We can provoke our children to wrath by achievement expectations. High achievement, their grades are never good enough. You got an A-? Really? You can do better than that. I can't believe you got an A-. You were slouching off. You weren't paying attention. That can be very hurtful. On the other hand, I've been thinking about this for a while. Parents, I just want you to... I decided to use myself as an example on this one. I got straight A's in high school. It was easy for me. You know what? I never had to study. I just took the test. I mean, it was easy. I never had to until I got to college. And you know what I got on my first calculus exam? An F. Because I didn't know how to study. Because nobody made me study. That was a big wake-up call, and then I learned how to study in a hurry. Because in college, you got to work hard. Why didn't anybody ever say that to me before that? See, it was just, on paper, I was doing great. Which one is doing, your kid gets a B or a C, If that kid's working hard and doing his best, he's probably doing better than the kid that gets an A and doesn't have to work at it. So think about those kind of things as you're evaluating your children, to be hard on them about their achievements. Think about it. Are they working at it? Are they trying? Oh, that's worth its weight in gold if the kid's trying. Discouragement. Oh, what about if a kid comes and says, I want to be a doctor? Oh, how could you ever do that with the way you keep your room? Your math, you don't have math skills. Science, you could never be a doctor. What's the matter with you? Oh, you can cut your kid to the quick just like that. We can provoke them to wrath and our failure to sacrifice for them, too. I'm tired. I've had a hard day. I don't want to have to deal with this. I don't have time for you. Kids who feel their intrusion on our time, intrusion, we always interfere with their life. They can become resentful. They interfere with our life, I mean. Parents, our kids need our time. They need to feel special. Unfortunately, in our day, physical and verbal abuse is growing. It's getting worse all the time. It's epidemic proportions today. Physical abuse is bad enough. Sexual abuse, of course, is horrible. Remember that you have the ability with your tongue to just have such superior arguments, and you can cut a child to the quick like that. Don't do that. Be kind, be patient. Don't provoke them to anger. Okay, so that's the negative. What are we supposed to do? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up. The next command in this verse is a positive command. First, we're not to provoke them from anger, but Paul tells us now what we're supposed to do. We're to tenderly bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. To bring them up, I think, has the root idea of feeding, like you would caring for a animal or livestock or something. You know, you're tenderly caring for them. Give them what they need for healthy growth. Continually nurturing them daily. In contrast, to provoke them to anger is the tenderness of nurturing them. I think this is probably more natural for moms, but dads need to have that too. We need to be nurturing of our children. Notice in the text, whose discipline and instruction are we to raise them in? In other words, we are to supply for them the Lord's discipline and the Lord's instruction. This is always tough, you know. People have the attitude, well, they're my kids, I'll do what I want to. Are they your kids? No. They are not your children. They're the Lord's children. You are the Lord's. And that's something we must never forget. We are to bring them up in His instruction and in His discipline. We're parents. We're agents of the Lord to bring them up, to train them. It's a continual, ongoing process. I think one of the texts that inspires us and helps us to think about it is Deuteronomy 6:6. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Teach them diligently to your sons, and of course daughters. Talk of them when you sit in your house all the time. Find opportunities all the time to talk about them. Oh, it's tough. I've been there so many times. You're tired, coming home from work. Many problems happened in the day. You're wore out. You're exhausted. The wife meets you at the door. I'm glad you're here. Junior's been naughty all day and he won't listen to me. I promised him you would deal with him when you got home, so here he is. Oh, I just want to sit down. I just want to have a drink of water. I just want to have a moment to clear my head. Well, I think you have three choices. Maybe there's more, but I came up with three. You can neglect the situation and forget all about it. We know we can't do that. Far too often we respond with the second one, anger. Why should I have to deal with this now? I'm tired, you know, and so on, so on, so on. That would be the anger response. But if you're going to teach them diligently to your sons and daughters, you're going to have to set aside the time right then and say, this is the Lord's charge. I need to deal with him right now, patiently. Now, at this point, I want to ask you something. Who in the world loves that little child enough to teach them to be obedient to God more than you? If you don't love them enough to do it, who will? God has put you in their charge. He's given you this tremendous love for them in your heart. And I know you're tired and you're exhausted, but at that point in time, you got to rise up and be diligent and take care of the task with patience, with understanding. I'm going to get to that in a few minutes, how we discipline our children. Where then does anger fit in when we're correcting our children? This is not a job for you when you're angry. I might say this several times during this sermon. I want to say it now to make sure it gets out there. Before you can discipline a child, you have to make sure that your own anger is under control. You have to make sure that you're calm enough to think through what you're doing. You have to be in control. I want to ask you something. If the Almighty God got angry at you and meted out his anger without self-control, what would happen? Oh, I incinerated the entire planet. What did I do? You'll never, ever, ever see God like that. He is always in control. He always knows what has to happen, and he metes out his anger, his punishments, with proper control and authority. And we got to be the same way. We had to take that little 3-year-old, that little 4-year-old, that little misbehaving little rascal, and we got to be in control. And we got to be calm. So sometimes sending them to his room might not be a bad thing because it gives dad a chance to calm down and make sure that he's in control first. Don't ever discipline your child while you're furious. Doesn't work. He knows the difference, and I don't think he'll learn as well from it. You've got to get your own self under control first. We need to do what God requires, nurturing them in his discipline and instruction. First, discipline. Discipline means discipline. Paideia means discipline, instruction, training. A good example of that, I have Hebrews 12, 5 through 11 here. Let's just go over there and look at it. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm picking it up at verse 5, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there where his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Why does God discipline his children? Verse 10, so that we may share his holiness. Why do you discipline your children and grandchildren? Because you want them to be obedient Christians. You want them to share God's holiness. You have the same motive, because this is God's discipline that you're enacting on that child. The next word is instruction, nuthesia. It means instruction and warning. Yeah, there's overlap in these terms. Paul's just using two different terms to kind of show the broad meaning of it, but there is overlap in the two terms. Paul's using them for emphasis. After studying these two terms and other associated scriptures, I think we can draw out two conclusions as to their meaning. There are two sides to this idea of discipline and instruction. First is the need for punishment. Parents, you must spank your children. Look at this whole context. Children are in the process of learning obedience. They need to learn it from you. Don't believe the studies made by people who don't believe the Bible, who say that spanking does not work. In most of those studies, spanking is lumped in with various forms of child abuse. Of course they don't work. But that's a far cry from a loving parent who's in control of himself and is spanking his child to correct his behavior or her behavior. And by the way, kids know the difference. If dad comes in like a wild Comanche and just starts throwing his fist and carrying on and the kid is scared to death, if dad comes in and is gentle and saying, look, you've offended and disobeyed the command of the Lord, you need to be punished, I'm going to have to spank you. The kid knows the difference when dad is explaining it and showing him what he's done wrong from the scriptures. And that's even better as the child gets older, to show him from the Bible, show him from the scriptures what he has done wrong and why he needs to be punished. And then you warm his backside. But you do it as a man who's in control. Kids know the difference. What do the scriptures say about this? Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. So really, what is really going on, if you don't do this, the Bible says you're hating your son. You're actually hating the child. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Do you agree that your children are foolish? Yeah. The scriptures say so, and they sure act it. They're kids. They need to be taught. They need to learn. They need to grow. And by the way, I'm talking about things that are rebellious and things that are actually, where they're actually demonstrating naughtiness. Sometimes they're just being a three-year-old, and they're just not understanding, and they're just kind of blundering through things. That's not really rebellion. I think parents can know the difference. I'm talking about times when they're defying, when they're disobeying, when they won't do what they're supposed to, when they're being rebellious. It's time to spank. We don't spank them because they don't aren't able to do something that is age appropriate. Proverbs 23:13, one more. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you beat him with the rod, he will not die. It might seem like you're going to kill him, but you won't. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from Sheol. Spanking is still legal in Michigan, fortunately. I think we need to be discreet. I think we need to be careful how we go about doing it. I think you got to watch where you spank and so on, and just be very careful. But the scriptures say we need to spank our children. Shall we believe the word of God or the studies of men? God says to spank, so what will you do? Okay, the other side of the issue is instruction. And I hope we're getting that, because I think that is so important. It's one thing just to spank their little bottoms and say, there, I've done my job. No, you haven't taught them anything. You need to guide their hearts. You need to show them, why did I just spank you? Now, I realize that I'm talking about things that have to be age appropriate, because a 3-year-old doesn't get it like an 8-year-old does. Hopefully, maybe by the time you're getting up 8, 9, 10 years old, maybe you're not spanking as much anymore because the child is learning. But still, there's a big difference in age appropriate, but we need to give them instruction. Part of discipline is making the child understand what was wrong with their behavior and what they must put in its place. Instruction in God's word needs to accompany punishment. Boy, it's great if dad comes and opens the Bible and says, look it, this is what you did. You violated. You spent the whole day defying your mother. You didn't obey your mother at all. This is wrong. God says you need to obey mom. Show them from the Bible what they're doing wrong. The instruction of the Lord. Make sure your children are systematically taught the word. I know this is tough, and I used this illustration last week somewhat, but as I think about my responsibilities as a pastor, my responsibilities are to train you as saints, and if people only came for a half an hour on Sunday morning, I get, that comes to about 23 hours a year. That's what I get to work with you and train you on. In contrast, if you were to send your child to public school, and I genuinely question the wisdom of that today, but I'm going by how it was when I was in school. You spent 45 minutes a day, 5 days a week, 38 weeks a year, and a total of 142 hours a year. It would take me preaching 6.2 years to give you the equivalent time of what your child gets in one class at school. That means you'd have to come to church for 36 years to get the same amount of instruction as 1 year in high school. What does that mean? It means that take advantage of the church services we have. That's one thing. But the other part is, parents, you've got to learn theology yourself, and you've got to teach the children yourself in the home. You have to be students of the Bible. You have to understand God's word, and you have to be quick to teach. Have your own classes at home where the child is being taught the Bible. It's your primary responsibility as parents to make sure your child is taught the word of God. Yes, they need to come to church, and yes, they need to learn from church, but they need to learn in the school of the home. You need to be grounded and rooted in theology. We need to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If you don't do this, who will? Who will? The Lord granted that you had these little children. They're yours. I just said a minute ago they're God's, and that's true. But in another sense, they are yours. Who loves them more than you? You got to give yourself over to this task. Moms and dads have a big job. We must take care not to provoke our children to anger. That is so easy to do in the frustration of the moment when you're battling a little child and his will, and he just is coming at you time and time again and just won't let up. You can get frustrated, you can get angry, and you can do an awful lot of bad things. You need God's grace to stay humble and find the ability to do these commands. As divine agents over our children, we must spank them when they need it, always in love and with great self-control. We don't have to wound our children. We don't have to cause physical bodily harm. A spanking can sting enough to let them know what you're doing is not right. We also need to provide for them the instruction necessary to build into their thinking the doctrines of the faith. That's a lot of work. That's hard work. You got to know it yourself. You got to study it yourself and be able to do it. And this, as far as I'm concerned, this applies to men and women equally. Moms and dads, you both have to know the Word of God, and you both have to be teaching the children constantly, all the time. When you sit down, when you lie down, when you stand up, all the time. It's not an easy task, and in our flesh, we are not suitable for the task. If you feel like, oh, I'm so weak, I just can't seem to keep up with this. Oh, and sometimes parents feel like, oh, I'm failing. I just try and try and try, and I just don't seem like I'm getting anywhere. Keep obeying, keep going, keep trying, and trust in the Lord for the fruit that'll come. Don't give up. Don't throw up your hands. Keep at it. The little sinner that God has entrusted in you, trusted to your care, is worth it. They are a little boy or girl made in the image of God. And they need to learn how to obey Him. And that's your job. It's not easy. We're not suitable for it. We must seek God's face. Well, I trust that you'll go home and honor our fathers if you have a father that has done that to whatever degree. And some fathers are more successful than others, and I get that. But there's an awful lot of guys that are bringing their children to church. They're disciplining their children. They're working hard to be good fathers. They're maybe working hard at a job to provide an income. I mean, all those things are reasons to honor our fathers. And that's what today is for, to honor those. Next week, we'll gather together for a church potluck and just celebrate Father's Day as a church together. But in the meantime, I trust that you'll have a good day honoring fathers and thanking God for His wisdom. I've seen this time and time again, where a little guy will get to the point where he won't respect his mother, and dad comes home and deals with it. Sometimes it takes something only a father can provide, and we need to be there for our children. Well, thank you. May God bless us as we think about His Word. Would you join me in prayer? Excuse me. Gracious Lord, we thank You so much for this passage in Scripture. I pray that You would grant to all of our men especially, and moms too, the ability to parent our children. For those, this applies to all of us in one way or another as we deal with children. I pray that we would be quick to learn, quick to grow from Your Word, quick to understand. I pray that we would honor our fathers, that we would respect them. I pray for the young children that attend this church. I pray that they would be learners of the Word. I pray that You would grant that their parents would be successful. I pray that they would learn, grow up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. I pray that they would be, their minds would be open to realize that it's You they need to obey. They need to obey their parents because that's what You've commanded. Lord, I pray for our children. I just ask that You would work in their hearts. Some are not saved. Some are in various stages of development. I mean, it's just all over the place, but we see and we plead with you for your hand to work on their little hearts. Thank you, Lord, for these instructions. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.